الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إن الله تجاوز عن أمتي ما وسوست به صدورها ما لم تعمل به أو تتكلم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, and my young friends and mothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As I mentioned in my last Friday khutbah, that one of the great favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to man is the favor of this tongue. Because it is through this tongue that a person can acquire the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By carrying out many, many good actions and good deeds through this one organ of his body. But at the same time, this tongue can be extremely detrimental for a person's deen and for a person's akhirah. Because when this tongue is not used in the correct manner, then instead of this tongue taking you towards Jannah, this tongue will take you towards the fire of hell. One of the most disliked and despicable actions that can be carried out through a person's tongue is the act of ghibah. And we mentioned, or I mentioned few things, and we understood what ghibah is. That the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, "Atadruna mal ghibah?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions that, "Do you know what ghibah is?" The companions said, "Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam." Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know better. Upon this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to these companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum that dhikruka akhaka bima yakrahu. In the absence of an individual, you mention something with regards to him, that if this news or information was to reach this person, he will dislike it. This is what ghibah is. My brothers, there are many, many harms of this act of ghibah. And as far as I remember, I mentioned in my last khutbah, one of the biggest reasons for the prohibition of ghibah is that it destroys love, affiliation, and harmony in a society, in a community. Anything that affects the unity of a community will be prohibited in our Sharia. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of many sins in the Quran in Surah Al-Hujurat, which is related to one's mu'asharat. So ghibah is one of them. Because when one person talks bad about another person, he will find out, he will have grudge for the person A for the rest of his life. Unless the person is very pious and connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he's ready to forgive the first person. And this illness is muta'addi, is contagious. Now this person will have his friends, so he will mention it to his friends that so and so person was talking bad about me. And this will just create friction and ikhtilaf between the two parties and two group of people. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says in the hadith, Al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. The ghiba and backbiting is more severe than zina. Because when a person commits zina, then he will have this realization in his heart and mind that I have committed a sin and disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever he will get a chance to make tawbah and make ruju to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will turn to Allah and patch up his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But ghiba is such a sin that majority of the people do not realize, or they don't take this sin to be so serious, that when we lift our hands to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many times, the sin of ghiba doesn't even come on our tongues. That, oh Allah, I have not performed salah in the past 10, 15, 20 years. Oh Allah, please forgive me. I have oppressed so and so person, please forgive me. I stole such and such thing from that person, oh Allah, forgive me. But seldom do we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, I have made ghibah of that person, please forgive me. Al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. There is a great Hanafi jurist by the name of Ibn Nujaym rahimahullahu ta'ala, who has compiled a great book, Al-Bahr al-Raiq. A very, very great faqih. One of his students, Shaykh Abdul Wahhab al-Sha'rani rahimahullahu ta'ala, says that I stayed with my teacher for a very long time. Until he passed away, there was not a single moment when I heard ghiba from the tongue of my respected Shaykh and teacher, Ibn Nujaym rahimahullahu ta'ala. Can you imagine, this person was a very, very close disciple and student of Ibn Nujaym. He stayed with him day and night. He stayed with him in his locality. He stayed with him in his journey. He accompanied him everywhere. But he did not hear a single ghiba from his teacher. Because these people, they understood that ghiba can lead to a lot of destruction. So this was one sin which I mentioned, that ghiba, we need to stay away from ghiba. Another sin that I mentioned was entertaining evil thoughts. The reason why I'm recapping and mentioning this again is few people came to me after last khutbah, and they seem to misunderstood the meaning of entertaining evil thoughts. Many people thought that I was speaking about waswasa. This is another type of entertaining evil thoughts, but I was referring to something else which is known as su'ul dhan bad gumani. In Arabic, you say su'ud dhan. In Urdu, you say bad gumani. Entertaining evil thoughts about other people based on their apparent state and condition. This is su'ud dhan. My brothers, su'ud dhan is also a very, very grave sin in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the sin of entertaining evil thoughts and negative thoughts will increase day by day. And as I mentioned, that this will lead you to entertain evil thoughts about your parents, your teachers, your mashayikh, pious individuals, sahaba, and after all, anbiya alayhim wassalatu wassalam. And this illness will not stop here. Slowly, slowly, you will start to entertain evil thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. When something comes about in your life, you will say that, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do this with me? Or if you happen to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will go in such a mode that shaitan and nafs will compel you to entertain this thought that you have committed such a sin that I don't know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive you or not. This is su'ud dhanni billah. having and entertaining negative thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But let me focus on the second type of su'ud-dhan, that is su'ud-dhan bin nas, entertaining evil thoughts about other people. For example, you see a person walking outside the masjid, and you are coming inside the masjid. You see this person, that he's not coming in the masjid, he's going somewhere else. And you start to entertain this thought in your heart and mind, that this person is so wretched. It is time for Dhuhr Salah. Every Muslim is coming towards the masjid, and this person is going away from the masjid. He does not even have this courtesy to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and perform salah. This is badgumani, this is su'ud-dhan, which is prohibited in our sharia, my brothers. Because Allah has not given me and you this license to judge other people. It is possible that this person has performed salah somewhere else, and then he's going somewhere, he has an appointment somewhere. It's possible that he will go and perform salah somewhere else later on. You see a person's car parked in the parking lot and you start to think that, astaghfirullah, this person doesn't even perform salah. To go and perform salah with jama'ah is sunnah mu'akkada, and according to some narration, it's wajib. And this person, I thought he was so pious, and he's not performing salah with jama'ah. This is su'ud-dhan, badgumani. Haram in our sharia. It's haram in our sharia. We need to understand, my brothers, our sharia is not black and white. That, you know, in every circumstance, a person has to come to the masjid and perform salah with jama'ah. There are conditions, there are some halat, there are some instances when sharia says to the person that for you to stay home and perform salah at home will be more virtuous for you than coming to the masjid and performing salah with jama'ah. For example, a person has his old parents at home. They are in need of his help. In this circumstance, a person, he says to his parents that, I don't care, I have to go to the masjid and perform salah with jama'ah. He will be questioned on the day of judgment. It is preferable, more virtuous for him to stay home and perform salah at home and look after his parents than coming to the masjid. There are so many other things. So our sharia is not black and white. So who gave us this license to entertain evil thoughts about other people? If someone is not wearing his topi, his hat, we start to entertain evil thoughts about this person. That, oh, I thought this person was so pious, I always see him in the masjid. He goes in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person is connected to pious people. And I saw him without hat, without topi. It's possible the person has an illness, a doctor told him that you're not allowed to wear topi for 5 days, 1 week, 2 weeks. And you're entertaining evil thoughts about this person. And sometimes people who are working for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, we start to entertain evil thoughts about them as well. That, oh, this person is doing it for money. This person is doing it for fame. This person has some worldly motive behind doing this work of deen. My brothers, this person is so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his services for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are entertaining this evil thought about him that he is a sinner and disobedient servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it comes in the hadith that this person who is entertaining evil thoughts, he will be made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will say to him that you used to entertain evil thoughts about Zayd, Amr and Bakr. Today you will have to present dalil and evidence for the thoughts that you used to entertain in your life. If you are not able to do that, then your final abode will be the fire of Jahannam. It comes in the hadith, explicit hadith. My brother, someone is a wali and a special friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we think of him as a sinner. How are we going to justify our actions? And how are you going to present an evidence against him? He will have have heap of good deeds and actions in his book of deeds. And you will have nothing. And whatever small deeds you will have in your book of deeds, Allah will say that your good deeds will be given to this person. Or his sins will be placed upon you. Upon you. سُوءُ الظَّنِّ بِالنَّاسِ. Entertaining evil thoughts, badgumani. This is what I was referring to in my last khutbah. So try to have this mindset that when you see something wrong in a human, then try to look for excuses. That it's possible that this person is doing this because this might have happened. He might have this reason due to which Sharia allows him to do something like this. This is why in Hilya, Abu Nu'aym mentions on the authority of Abu Qilaba radiyallahu rahimahullahu ta'ala that إِذَا بَلَغَكَ عَنْ أَخِيكَ شَيْءٌ فَلْتَمِسْ لَهُ عُذْرًا. When something reaches you, when you hear something about another person, when you see something wrong in a Muslim brother, try to look for reasons and excuses for that person. And he says, فَإِلْ لَمْ تَجِدْ عُذْرًا لَهُ. If you are not able to find any reason, then think to yourself, فَحَدِّثْ نَفْسَكَ لَعَلَّ لِأَخِي عُذْرًا لَا أَعْلَمُهُ. It is possible that this person has a valid reason to do this, and I am not aware of it. So I don't want to entertain evil thoughts about this person because I will be questioned on the Day of Judgment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will have to give evidence and dalil from myself in order to gain salvation in the hereafter. On the contrary, if the person does not have a valid reason and you were able to entertain a positive thought about him, that he is doing this because of this reason, this reason, this reason, this one action according to hadith is sufficient for your salvation in the hereafter. Now you tell me, my brother, which path you will take. It is so easy to entertain a positive thought about your Muslim brother and secure a place for you in Jannah. I'm sure we can all do this here. It's hard to perform salah 5 times daily sometimes. It's hard to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes it's hard for a person to go for pilgrimage. To entertain a positive thought about your Muslim brother. Each and every single person can do this. Easy path to Jannah. So let us all go with this message today. We will abstain from ghiba. We will abstain from entertaining evil thoughts about Allah and other people. Inshallah, if we do this, then Jannah will be guaranteed for us, inshallah. Because when a person, he controls his thinking and his thoughts, then his tongue also comes in control majority of the times. Because tongue only says those things which is in a person's heart and mind. This is why a very wise person said that try to lock your tongue. Because when the lock of the shop opens, this is when people come to know what's inside the shop. So when you lock your tongue, when you unlock your tongue, people will know what's going through in your heart and mind. So let us control our tongue. مَنْ يَضْمَنْ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لَحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ فَخِذَيْهِ أَضْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, that person who guarantees me that he will control that which is in between his two jaws, meaning his tongue, and that which is between his two thighs, meaning his private parts, أَضْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ, I guarantee him Jannah in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.